pressure.
I think everyone takes a different approach to it.
I think nerves.
I actually don't mind exams. I prefer it to essays in a lot of senses. I think it's quite nice to just have them all in one go and get them.
I like the celebrations after exams.
I think the thing is with exams, you're never really taught a technique.
Welcome to the first of the Nottingham Trent University Exams and Revision Podcasts. In this first podcast, we'll be listening to the thoughts of four lecturers as they discuss with me two important questions about exams. Firstly, what does a good exam answer look like? And secondly, where do students go wrong in exams? My name is Ed Foster, and at the end of this podcast, I'll be telling you about the other NTU Exams and Revision Podcasts. I hope that you find this interesting, and more importantly, I hope that you find it useful. There's a great story about a student taking a philosophy exam. The student chose to answer the question, why? He sat, he scratched his head, and he thought for a few minutes, and then he simply wrote, why not? He packed his bag, and he left the exam hall. A few weeks later, he was disappointed, but perhaps not entirely surprised, to discover that he'd scored zero. He went and spoke to his tutor and was told that whilst on the one hand it was the perfect answer, it failed to meet the criteria of an examination. He hadn't demonstrated that he'd engaged with the curriculum. There was no evidence of attending lectures or reading texts or engaging in debate or discussion in seminars or simply thinking through the issues connected to the course. He wasn't using evidence to back up his case. So we asked our lecturers, what does a good exam answer look like?
Good exam answer, it should address the criteria that we've made loud and clear to the students about what they're trying to achieve in this exam. And so it should answer the question. It should demonstrate some preparation, I think. I think it depends on the type of exam, but I mean, on the type of exams we set, we would expect them to be able to write a relatively coherent essay that makes arguments, you know, introduces evidence, is well structured, has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Well, to tell the truth, the exam contains essay questions. So it's an essay-based exam. I don't think it's necessarily too different from an essay produced for a piece of coursework, apart from the fact that we don't expect as many examples. We do expect something which is focused on the title, and that's really, really important, because I think you can panic a little bit when you get in the exam and just almost become blinded to the question and just think, oh God, I've got to just write for an hour on, get down everything I know because I'm bound to get loads of marks for it. Well, actually, no, you're not. Think of your purpose as being, what is the most important thing I can say in response to this question? I.e. everything I can say in response to this question, but what is the most important argument I can give in response to this question? And then what are the most important issues I should talk about in response to this question? It's about being very clear about your purpose. This is what I'm going to say. Here's an example or two of it. There's my next scene. Here's an example of it.
I'm looking for it to address the question that's asked. I'm looking for it to be clear and logical and coherent. And I'm looking for it to be a complete answer to the question.
There are two other exams and revision podcasts. The first looks at how to revise and the second looks at exam technique and dealing with stress. Finally, we hope that this has been an interesting listening experience. But if you want to maximise the benefit from listening, we suggest that you spend some time just thinking about how to apply the key ideas included here. Particularly thinking about how you are going to give a good answer in your next exam rather than make the mistakes that our tutors identified. If you're not sure, then you might want to listen again to the comments that the tutors made to really identify and pick out the main features, the main points that they are seeking to make.
very often by misreading the question. There's a good example that my accounting colleagues quote, where students were asked in an examination to reflect on the case for updating the accounting procedures, the accounting rules, in the light of the Enron debacle in America.
Right.
And they reported that when they marked the essay question, they found that there were a lot of people who thought it was just an essay about Enron rather than an essay about accounting practices and procedures. They had missed the point. But also by not answering the full number of questions. If four questions have to be done and somebody only attempts three, then the maximum mark they can get is 75, and they will have to do more than get more than half of the marks out of the 75 to pass.
They don't answer the question and they just write and write and write. Then maybe, having spoken to students, a lot of them don't plan what they're going to write. They don't mobilise their material in response to the actual question, but rather they'll just write what they want to write. And they don't analyse a lot. A lot of it just, in other words, they just describe things rather than create an argument.
A student a few years ago said something tongue-in-cheek to one of his fellow students about the way to approach exam questions. And he just said, well, what you do is you write your four essays down. Then, after you've written them, you look at the questions and number. You do feel at times, at final year level as well, that students have worked out in advance the questions they, or the answers they're going to give you. And if it's roughly in the topic area, they will give you that answer. So typically they have not looked at the specific question that has been set. They've done a sort of a generic essay in the rough area of the topic.
I think there's a sense of avoiding any risks by not giving, you know, not writing an essay in terms of giving their own opinions or anything like this, but by the thinking that if they give as many facts as possible, they'll get as many, that, you know, a fact equals a mark. And their answers tend to be terribly descriptive. It's like they try and memorise everything rather than come up with a thoughtful answer. And so the point to me about assessment is it's assessment for learning. So they want to demonstrate they've learned something by doing the course rather than just repeat parrot fashion. There tends to be a thing of they revise very well for the first exam and then think they'll start revising for the second one in the period in between and the third thereafter, etc. And clearly, it's just not humanly possible to do that. You know, brilliant mind in the world, you still struggle to try to adopt that approach.
So they'll just often write descriptions, say, the question I'm looking at here, this question asks the students to analyse identity, whether it be cultural identity, gender identity or class identity, using one of the cultural products discussed in the course by somebody like Frida Kahlo or Buñuel or Victor Jara. And so what the students will often do is just describe the paintings of Frida Kahlo.
So first of all, thanks very much to our lecturers for those thoughts. To summarise, a good exam answer meets the following criteria. It answers the question that's been set. It uses evidence, research, and facts to support its case. And if it's an essay answer, then it has an essay type structure with an introduction, paragraphs based around separate ideas, i.e. one idea per paragraph, and it has a conclusion. It draws to some form of conclusion. The most common problems that our lecturers encountered included not answering the question, but instead giving some lists of facts vaguely related to the subject matter, or having no plan. So again, we get more listing, or it's often a random selection of ideas thrown down onto the page as they occur to the student in the exam hall. misreading the question and giving a generic answer rather than a specific one, or just failing to organise time in the exam hall so that the first answer is quite good, but the answers for the second or third question are considerably weaker. If you'd like to give us some feedback about this podcast or ask questions about study skills, then please email us at study.skills@ntu.ac.uk. There are two other exams and revision podcasts. The first looks at how to revise and the second looks at exam technique and dealing with stress. Finally, we hope that this has been an interesting listening experience. But if you want to maximise the benefit from listening, we suggest that you spend some time just thinking about how to apply the key ideas included here. Particularly thinking about how you are going to give a good answer in your next exam rather than make the mistakes that our tutors identified. If you're not sure, then you might want to listen again to the comments that the tutors made to really identify and pick out the main features, the main points that they are seeking to make.